Okay. I'm already laughing because if I'm being honest, I am petrified right now. And I'm not 100% sure why. I'm used to looking down the barrel of this camera all the time, whether it's for podcasts or videos or just whatever. I'm used to looking at the camera. I'm used to talking, especially in podcast form, now that I'm at 10 or 11 episodes or something like that. And yet when it's just me, I'm so fucking scared, man. Like, I use other people in the conversation as my crutch. And I want to work that out of my system. I want to be able to just talk to you, the audience, by talking to myself and kind of processing stuff. Man, you know, what an intro. Hello. My name is David J. Mund, David Joseph Mund. This is the ADHD Deep Dive, the podcast that's not about ADHD, but is filled with proof it exists. And I think you're going to see that maybe more than ever in these solo episodes, because honestly, the only way to just keep moving in this podcast is just to keep talking and hoping that my brain catches up to my mouth and that I can filter it all constructively into something creative and meaningful, some sort of passionate discussion about art or life or misery or whatever. I'm just going to be talking at your face, and this week it's without a guest. Usually, if you're new to the podcast, again, my name is David J. Mund. I'm an actor, director, cinematographer, photographer, a little bit of a jack of all trades, but imposter syndrome in all of them. I am the host of the ADHD Deep Dive, and you're actually getting a look at my brand new setup that I think I'm going to try and use for a little while. I don't know that I'm going to be holding the microphone like this. And if you are an audio listener, maybe you're hearing a little bit of a different audio quality, because again, I'm now holding the mic instead of having it like 5 feet away from my face. We're going to see if this changes anything. But I gotta be honest, there is a particular reason. Sorry, you're going to hear this creaky chair. I need to get a new chair for the podcast, because otherwise this office chair is just gonna ruin the audio quality. Plus my dog is right below me making a big old bed of blankets, so he's, you know, roughing it up and tossing it into a bundle. Also the audio quality, who knows what it's gonna be like, if it's gonna be able to shut out the awful noises of cars going way too fast down a 25-mile-an-hour residential street. People screaming, people getting out of work, people getting out of school, doors shutting, alarms going off, gunshots going off. Who knows? This is a metropolitan area. I needed to do this podcast by myself, for, you know, practice reasons. Again, this is something I really want to do by myself. Not all the time. Obviously, I would really like to have guests, maybe more often than not. But I want to be able to have the ability to just talk unfiltered, unedited. Maybe there might be some edits. I don't know if you're watching the video version. Maybe it might be not quite as interesting unless I'm putting some graphics and text and stuff up on the screen. I don't know. As far as news that needs to be announced that I wanted to kind of get out of the way, I believe that this episode will be airing Monday. Let's see, what is today? Monday. Today is the... Let's see. So this is going to be Monday the... I got to look. This is why I have technology. So today is Friday, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th. So this would be Monday the 20th or the 19th. I'm not 100% sure. I don't have the calendars out. Either way, I want to use this as a sort of preemptive announcement that there's not going to be a post-Christmas episode, for a couple of reasons. One, I feel like that's what you're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to take the holidays off. And by taking the holiday off, I mean I'm just taking the holiday off of the podcast, because I really have to work. This podcast is going to come right back the next week, 2023, starting off fresh with a brand new episode. I've got a few banked that I'm ready to put out. I just thought that it was a nice little treat to myself to take one single week off, and it's not even a week off to those who are listening. You know, it's a day off. I'm always working on the podcast. I'm always working on trying to revamp, rebrand, refine, fine tune, trying to make new graphics and book new guests and shoot new episodes. But it's not the only thing that I have going on in my life. If you're a listener, you know that I've done, I work for a murder mystery company, so I do a lot of murder mystery parties. I have the unfortunate freelance work of, you know, the delivery gigs, for, I'd say supplemental income, but sometimes it's primary income. I don't know what sort of perceptions people have of me financially or creatively, but I'm not rolling in it, let me tell you that. I've been using the same outdated, cheap, consumer-friendly DSLR with the same lenses from day one, the same laptop that I got when I first started day one. This might be a new microphone, but it could have been $20. I'm not 100% sure. I'd say that I'm a minimalist in the way that I create and that I don't need a whole lot of equipment or gear or technology or anything. But I think it's mostly just that I'm broke and I can't afford the new stuff, that I'm like sort of limited to what I got. So I try to just do as much with as little gear as I have. Got a couple of lights here. These were like the Amazon Basics variety. I think it came in like a 4-pack. So I've got one on either side of the background. I've got my little, what is that? Not artificial. To the audio listeners, maybe none of this is relevant, but I'm describing what's happening in my background here. Because again, I'm trying to spice this thing up a little bit. There's going to be a couple episodes, if you're a video watcher, that are still going to have the blue backdrop that I was using for a little while. Because again, I shot those already. I haven't banked. But I think this is a nice little start. I want to make sure that I'm able to use the podcast video as a medium to like practice my video editing skill or my video shooting skills and lighting skills, because ultimately, like I said, the podcast is not the only thing creatively that I have going on in my life. And you know, for what it's worth, this podcast is fulfilling me. It really is. Like, this is maybe the most rewarding creative endeavor that I've been on, and it's only been, what, 10, 11 weeks or something like that? Or I guess technically it's been more than that, because I was working on it for a few weeks before I ever announced anything. So, shit, I don't know. Let's just go with it's been a few months to maybe half a year that I've known that this podcast is something that I'm going to be doing. And I am in it for the long haul. I really do plan to do a weekly episode every week, other than, you know, well, we've got Christmas coming up. That's an obvious exception. I've got something coming out right after the new year. You know, I'm not taking any holidays that I know of. But there are some long-term goals that I think I really want to accomplish with this podcast. And a big part of that is just, you know, finding my confidence in the podcast space itself. I think I'm getting a little bit better at talking to guests. I am in my head every time I'm editing them, because maybe you've observed this as a listener or a watcher, but I've definitely observed it through my lens of whether it's imposter syndrome or self-loathing. I feel like I interrupt people. I feel like, you know, maybe I step on their toes when they're trying to think of something and I try to take it instead. And I try to forgive myself, because this is my podcast. This is my property and I own it. And, you know, it's altogether I am the through line of the show. But, you know, some people tune in to see the specific guests. And while I love that, obviously that's huge, because that means I am actually booking creative guests. And I love that. I want to give the whole overarching idea of doing anything creative is actually, I want to start collaborating with people in a bigger way than I ever have. I do a lot of stuff by myself. And in the future, like, I really want to provide jobs to people. I want to provide a means to, what's the phrase I'm looking for? I just want to provide a source of income for people through creative endeavors. So whether that's starting a production company or just hiring people independently for editing gigs or just, whatever. I just want people to be able to thrive, and I want to be able to help them do that. So this podcast feels pretty rewarding in that when people come on here, it's a nice little plug for themselves. They share it with their friends and family tune in and listen to them. And then, you know, maybe out of every 10 people, maybe one goes on to check out another episode. And then, you know, the numbers dwindle from there. And then, you know, whatever, proportionally, this audience will continue to grow and grow and grow. And I'm really excited for that. But yeah, I just feel like I'm very intimidated by constantly having guests on. And there's a lot of projecting that happens in this podcast, so I don't really want to, you know, I want to be able to process that stuff by myself rather than take somebody else's, whether it's worries or traumas or successes, and make it about me. That's not, I don't want to do that. So I want to be able to get this stuff out in a healthy way, process this stuff by myself. And then when the guests come on, we can talk to them about them. And then, you know, conversations can kind of happen from there. Last solo episode, there goes that creaking of the office chair. I know it sounded like a butt. I promise it wasn't a butt. The last time I did a solo episode, I think I was only able to make it like 33 minutes or something like that. So the goal is to reach that hour mark today. So lots of ums, lots of uhs. we'll see how far we can make it. And to address the elephant in the room, I get really high before these podcasts. hopefully there's a certain degree of potheads out there who are listening. Some of you are creatives. Most of you are creatives, I think. So I'm sure you've all dabbled or experimented or at least done your homework. You know, I don't really have anything good or bad to say about it. I feel like it. I, of course, have my positives and negatives when it comes to weed. I am an all day, every day, I'm getting high kind of guy. And I've gone back and forth with that struggle in my life. I've quit and started and quit and started and many times, but every time I quit, it's never like I'm done forever. And I think that's kind of how I want it. Like, as in, I don't want it to be forever. I think that I'm getting to a point where I can sort of establish some sort of healthy relationship with weed. The problem is that sometimes I forget I'm high. And then I am either anxious because I'm like, why am I feeling this way? Or I'm hyper aware of the fact that I'm high. And so I just think about that and don't exactly focus. And of course, it's weed, you know? It doesn't have the best reputation for focus, although it does allow some people to retain focus. You know, I don't know. There's not really much to say about weed in this podcast. It's, you know, it is a big part of my life in that I've struggled with the addiction side of it. Anybody who says you can't get addicted to weed is lying to your face. Okay. Let's just be super clear about that. It doesn't have nicotine in it. It's not an addictive substance, but it's habit forming and habits become addictive. I don't know the science behind this, but I just have, you know, personal anecdotes about my struggles with not sobriety. I've never really had issues with alcohol or anything really. I've talked about this on previous podcasts. I'm prone to addictions, but they're more process addictions. I've never really been hooked on pills or alcohol or, you know, I don't know, experiences, but food, spending money, weed, you know, got my addictions. I've got my afflictions. And sometimes I feel like a fraud using the word addiction because, like, I feel like that's such a personal, intense word. But what else applies, you know? Sorry for the ASMR there of me sipping on a LaCroix. Also, I have no idea for how long I've been shooting so far. I don't know if I've explained this on the podcast, but the camera that I'm using right now is the Canon EOS M50. It's an old, outdated, and it's the version 1. There's a version 2 out as well. Very consumer-friendly Canon camera, DSLR. DSLRs are being phased out in general, but this camera can only record for 30 minutes straight. it can, you know, whatever SD card is in there, it can retain more information and I can have multiple clips of 30 minutes, whatever, has bigger storage. But it's just the camera itself only runs for 30 minutes straight. So during these podcasts, sometimes I'm in the middle of saying something or somebody else is in the middle of saying something and then I have to reclip real fast. And there's like a little 2 to 3 second gap where I'm not recording or whatever. And if I have a genuine reaction to something that somebody says, or I have to like stop them to be like, hang on, I got to reclip or whatever. It's very frustrating. So I'm either going to have to figure out a new way to do that or a new way to shoot with this camera, or, you know, obviously the greatest thing could be to get a new camera. That would be ideal. But on that, let me look real fast. Okay, 15 minutes so far. So yeah, around the 30 minute mark, you'll see a little bit of a jump cut edit. I don't know. We'll see what happens. And again, I feel like I do exclusively talk to the video listeners, video watchers. I'm really going to try not to do that because I know that a good portion of you listen to the audio only version. But I am like to describe myself as a visual creative guy. So that's why there's a backdrop. That's why there's lighting. That's why I'm trying to put stock into the video version. I always try to make sure that I get backup audio just in case there are audio issues, because I know that when you're watching a video, it can be more forgiving if the audio is bad. But if you're only listening to audio, obviously you want that to be as good, as high quality as you can be. So don't worry. I know that you both exist. Let's see. I did take a little bit of notes, or throw a little bit of notes out there, that I think could help rein in the ADHD a little bit. But I think that was a fun little experiment of unedited speaking. What do we think, camera? What do you think? Looking at you. Okay, so yeah, this isn't my first solo episode. This is my second solo episode. First episode was like a oh shit, last minute. I had moved into a new place and we didn't have Wi-Fi yet, so I wasn't able to upload either of the episodes that I had shot. I should have had them banked, whatever, but that kind of forced me to just sit down and shoot an audio episode on my phone real quick, use the audio from the phone, and then just upload that episode from the phone itself. Hold up. Hey, Judah. My dog is licking herself very loudly. And I'm sure the microphone didn't catch most of it or any of it, I'm sure. But I just want to make sure that I'm doing the best I can to make sure that there's no ridiculously obnoxious noises in the background. Like the one I'm sure we're going to hear soon. My roommate's cat just came downstairs and she is the biggest sweetheart, don't get me wrong. Very kind, very loving. Actually, I just bullshit you. She's not very kind, very loving. She's a big sweetheart, as in she's a cutie, but she's not a big fan of being pet. So, she scares me a little bit, but she's thrashing around with a toy out there. So we'll hope that you can't hear that. So let's talk about some of the difficulties of this podcast so far. I know I've kind of alluded to it that I've had some hiccups or issues in the past, and we're only a few months into this. And if this is going to be a multi-year endeavor, then it, in theory, it will only get better and these kinks will be worked out. But, you know, just to process them, editing, it's a big pain in my ass. If I could just sit down and shoot the episode with someone and, you know, I have it, all the audio is already tuned and processed and whatever, so I don't need to like make cuts to like show who's speaking back and forth, that would be ideal. But, you know, for the video watchers, I want to make it somewhat entertaining. So, you know, if I don't know what's going to happen here. Hopefully this isn't just a straight shot. Maybe I'll put some graphics up or whatever. I don't know yet. But for the video watchers, you know, yeah, I want something interesting to look at, you know, just not a standstill face, you know? So whenever somebody else is talking, I try to cut to them. You know, we put the little fun graphics in at the beginning to try and announce everyone or introduce everyone. But that takes up a lot of time. It takes about 2 hours to shoot an episode. I try to make room for cuts just in case somebody said something that they didn't want out or whatever. I don't make cuts after the fact. So if you like, you know, if we shoot an episode and in the moment, if you're a guest and you say like, oh, I really wish I wouldn't have said that, that's going to either out somebody or that's not public yet or whatever, then I usually have my guests let me know so that I can make the edit there. But or I can make a little note about it. But if once the episode is edited, I will send it out to the people who were in it. I don't really grant any space for being like, ooh, I think I sounded dumb there. Could you edit that out? Because, like, who doesn't sound dumb from time to time, first of all? Like, I mean, I've sounded dumb, I'm sure, multiple times already. Maybe dumb is a derogatory word here, but I just mean, like, we all trip over our words or we all say something we don't mean. And so what? Like, you know, I understand that, like, there's some hesitation to, like, put something out that is concrete if it may embarrass you or doesn't paint you in a particularly positive light. But, you know, misspeaking or sounding funny or being wrong, that's okay. Like, we have to be okay with that, right? So yeah, once the episode is shot, it's like, we're just going to be as transparent as we can be. I want to be as honest. I want the conversation to be portrayed as honestly as it was actually had, so that you, the listener or watcher, gets the exact same information that I got. Because some of the guests that I have on here, like, you know, I have them on because they provide me a lot of insight, but they're friends of mine. I feel like they have something interesting to say, and they have not gotten the proper recognition they deserve yet. So this is a little launch pad for everybody to just kind of talk about what we're struggling with. Long term, though, again, I'm going to look at my time. Okay, we're at like 21 minutes or so. Long term, though, I don't think that this podcast is just going to be me talking to actors or musicians or whatever. You know, I'd like to have some, quote, intellectuals on the show. I'd like to have some, you know, just outside the box thinkers, intelligent people, anyone really, as long as the conversation can be authentic. I don't want to promote. I mean, I understand, like, if somebody comes on and they have an album coming out or a book or anything like that, like, we're going to talk about that and what the process was like making it, and the conversation itself can serve as a promotional tool, but I don't know. Until the ad revenue streams can come in or anything, I don't really feel like hawking products that I don't know anything about or don't believe in, or, like, you know, promoting a person's creative endeavors without knowing that they're a good person first. You know, and I know the people who are on my podcast. I'm not going to have bad people on here, but in the future, I'm going to start having to have guests on here that I don't know. And it's a good, this experience is a good practice for me to kind of, I don't know, work on the art of intentional conversation, and allowing conversation to flow freely, but steering it in a direction that I think, you know, my listeners will appreciate, that I will appreciate. It's just weird to kind of balance that, like, I know people are listening, so I have to provide some sort of value to them in that they get what they came for, or they get what they expected, or whatever. I don't know. This is still such a new process for me that I'm kind of working it all out in real time. But yeah, editing is the biggest hiccup. I see why so many podcasts have producers. They're able to fire between camera angles. They're able to kind of help book guests. And right now, as a freelancer, it's, you know, as an independent solo freelancer, you know, it's all me. Everything I do is me. Obviously, when I collaborate with people on projects, that's a little bit different. But when I call myself an actor, if I'm an actor in a scene or a show, my role is on me. It's a collaborative effort. The podcast, editing it, shooting it, steering it in a creative direction, that's on me. You know, as a 1099 guy, hang on, I'm going to violently abuse my dogs. Hey, stop barking. As a 1099 and total, again, freelance guy, independent contractor, everything I do is basically untaxed. So I have to make sure I'm keeping track of how much I owe in taxes. And all of my accounting is me. All of my website management is me. All of my YouTube uploads and editing is me. All of my photography is me. All of my photo editing is me. Like, which, again, I would like to provide a space for people to have a job, but that also benefits me in the long run. I don't know if that's selfishness, and I don't know if selfishness and selflessness can exist in some sort of Venn diagram. Yeah, I need help with a lot of this stuff, and I've overextended myself a lot lately. Full transparency, this is the first edit, just so I can keep track of that 30-minute mark thing. But you didn't know. You wouldn't have known unless I said anything. If you're a watcher, you know, but audio listeners, probably not. Anyways, yeah, I've sort of overextended myself a lot lately, and which sucks because it's, sometimes when people overextend themselves, you know, it's like, well, at least there's, at least the money is there, right? That's not happening for me. I have so many freaking things going on in my life all at once that like either take money or don't pay that much that I think benefit me, my creative pursuits in the long run, but in the short term, it's like destroyed me financially. You know, whatever. This is a vulnerable space. I've got lots of credit card debt. I've got a bunch of, so like I said, there's the murder mystery company. I've got my band, Midwest Skies. We're always practicing and preparing for new shows. We're working on a new EP and a music video. I try to be very diligent about, my exercise routines in the morning. And by exercise, I mean my daily yoga. I don't really do much more than that, although I'd like to. It's just something that I have to do every day. And then likewise, every Tuesday, I go to this hot yoga class. I feel like that helps me, A, burn a lot more calories, and B, it's just very meditative. I'm not here to preach yoga to you. It's something that I have to delegate time for in my life. And then, of course, the podcast is taking up most of my time right now. Not just my, like, physical time, because it's not actually taking up most of my physical time, but it's taking up a lot of my mental energy. Always thinking about new guests and new topics of conversation and new things or segments that I can add to the podcast. Obviously, I've been working on this little, this new setup behind me. Even though it doesn't look like much, I understand, like, that felt huge for me. I've never really had a set. It's just the other side of the wall of my office. So, you know, I just have a lot. It feels like I have a lot going on. And then, of course, on top of that, there's poor time management when it comes to ADHD, executive dysfunction. You know, if I'm focusing on one thing, this hyperfixation, I'm not focusing my time or energy or attention or brain space on anything else. So where I should be kind of put a bunch of eggs in a bunch of different baskets, I just like, you know, when I'm scheduled for like a freaking delivery gig or something like that, and I'm in the middle of editing a podcast, and I think somebody said something that is of high value that I think that like, oh, I got to make sure that I put some emphasis on this in the podcast. If I get an order delivery or an order like right around that time, I'm like, no, I can't take that because I gotta work on the podcast. But the podcast doesn't get me any money. The only thing that gets me the money is the gigs. And then on the flip side, if I'm like out doing a delivery gig, I'm not spending time, you know, trying to advertise myself for wedding videos, or I'm not coming up with new concepts for music video pitches, and I'm not working on guests or booking guests or making website adjustments, even though that's the thing I want to do. And of course, you know, not everybody can do what they want, but like, how have we not figured out this work-life balance thing yet? Like, you know, maybe this is the socialist in me, the democratic socialist. There is plenty of Bernie Sanders literature right behind me, so say what you will. But why are we still working for corporations? Like, yes, I'm sure the capitalists out there and maybe even non-capitalists can recognize that corporations have done a lot. But that's as comfortable as I'm going. That's as far as I'm comfortable going with it. You know, like the idea that we have to work our lives for a corporation that at the top has wealthy executives or, you know, just brings no societal value. That's like, that eats me alive. And actually, I think this is relevant to a question, which this is a decent transition, I guess. On my Instagram, instagram.com/DavidJMund, I put a little shout out on my story asking, just seeing if anybody had any questions or things that you wanted me to talk about on the podcast. And so here we go. One of the things was actually from a former guest, John Kelly, said, what was your professional journey that led you to want to pursue freelance work? And let me sip the LaCroix here. When I saw that, I kind of laughed because there's a couple ways to talk about that. And it might be a little hybrid version that I'm going for, but if I am to talk about that, I have to talk about all the frustrating bullshit that happened to get me here. Because, like, you know, it sounds exciting, right? Like, finally pursuing that freelance gig. I'm like, I'm taking my time back. I'm pursuing my passions in the way that I always said that I would. But also, like, it's some scary shit. It's scary. It's terrifying. But it was necessary. So what was my professional journey that led me to want to pursue freelance work? The abridged version. Professional journey. So I feel like that has to be everything post high school, right? You know, I've had my odds and end jobs. You know, my first job out the gate was at McDonald's and not many people. I'm not saying no people because of course there are. Not many people want to rise through the ranks of the fast food industry. And I, certainly as a 17-year-old, I didn't want to do that. And then I got into a manager's position at the movie theater and, you know, little serving gigs here and there. But as far as the professional journey, my first paid job as, even though they don't call them cinematographers, we're photojournalists. I was a photojournalist for a news station up north, Northern Michigan. And I've talked about this on the podcast a little bit, but that was just, you know, what seems prestigious is just an abomination of a job. See, even my dogs are frustrated about it. Hey, guys, hold on. I'm gonna grab this quick spray bottle here. Spray bottles, folks, not just for cats. depending on how you feel about using spray bottles on cats, that may have offended some people, but spray bottles, not just for spraying things other than live animals, but for cat owners, I'm sure you have a little spray bottle around the house to keep your cat from doing something because, you know, cats are little shits. But just me holding it and a little mist into the air is enough to get my dogs to stop barking, typically. Case in point. It's so sweet. I don't remember what I was talking about. What was my professional journey? Oh, okay. So I was a photojournalist at a news station up north. And the appearance pre-2016, at least for me, was that it was a, you know, it's a very prestigious job. You're reporting on the news. And like, it was Northern Michigan's news leader. So it felt like everything I knew about the news was through the lens of this particular news station that I grew up watching. So when I got that job, it was huge for me. I started in the operations department. So I was kind of just sitting behind a desk for a little while, triggering commercials or like pre-programming commercials or whatever. And then I'd go into the studio during the live taping of the news or the live news. And I would just be the guy who like slowly shifts the camera that's in the studio. But then I got hired into the news station or the news department and was hired on as a photojournalist, which essentially is the person behind the camera anytime you see news out on the field. So if there's a reporter out, you know, covering a fire or a murder or a trial or a whatever, anytime you see anything on video, typically that is the photojournalist who shot the video. The main difference, in my view, between photojournalists and the actual reporters on screen, however, and now there are some, there are more specific stuff that I guess we can get into, but the main thing is the pay. I mean, honestly, photojournalists do a lot of the work that reporters do. Not that reporters don't do the work, and I'm sure at different stations it's completely different. And for what it's worth, I worked with a lot of fantastic, hardworking reporters at this news station who are still friends of mine. But I think if you are in that group of friends of mine from that news station, you will know that the photojournalists get treated like dog shit. We're looking for stories just as often as reporters are. We're following up on loose ends and leads just like the reporters are. We're calling in. We're doing our research. We're writing. We're working just as much overtime going out to these extremely, oftentimes heartbreaking events. But I tell people pretty specifically that, or pretty candidly, that the specific event in my mind that was the trigger for me to be like, no, I think this is not for me. This is not what I thought. Is like, so I'm spending all day getting really hyped to cover my first real cold case murder thing. So essentially there was this guy who had been suspected of murder. There was this woman who had been murdered like 20 years or something, and the case had gone unsolved for like 20 years, and then they found the guy, and then my job was to go with this reporter and cover the news about it. And so, you know, you watch these freaking true crime documentaries, true crime shows, and you're like, oh my God, this is going to be so cool. There's going to be like a murderer in here, and I'm going to like write a cool story about, you know, breaking news. It just felt intense. And then when I get there, the first thing that I'm supposed to do is shove the camera in the mother of the deceased's face and basically just beg her to answer questions in an exciting, catchy way about how she feels about maybe potentially having some sort of closure. And she didn't want to talk, because she's been talking to the news for 20 fucking years. But if I didn't get that audio, then my news director, when I got back to the station, was going to just destroy me and publicly humiliate me in front of the entire newsroom. And you would. That would happen constantly. You get berated in front of the entire newsroom because you're a fuck up, or because you're lazy, or because whatever. Or if a shot hits the air and there's like, you know, a little bit of an audio bump or a little bit of a blur, you're a fucking disaster. We never should have hired you. You're a child. Like, what are we paying you for? So I guess that's the first step. Was like working as a photojournalist, and it was the 2016 election, okay? It was covering the 2016 election in a very pretty damn dark red area. And every single time you try to just cover a story, there's people screaming at you, insulting you, threatening you, calling you fake news, whatever. Fuck that. What else? What else have I done? I think from there, I'm sure I'm going to miss a few things in between. But from there, at a certain point, I ended up getting an internship at the Interlochen Arts Academy, which is essentially just a private art school that supplied all types of creative curriculum, or creative courses. So there was obviously music, that's a full orchestra, so I'm sure there was classes just for orchestra. There was ballet, there was dancing, there was whatever different types of dancing. I'm sorry, I'm not particularly good with the language. Singing, filmmaking, writing, there were, this was a private arts school for those. And I'm sure there was obviously general ed curriculum stuff that you got to take just like any school. But anyways, I was the photo, video, media intern. So I was there 3 days a week. And I was just going in and capturing footage and of whether plays or productions or performances or master classes. And that was really cool. It did feel strange because, like, I am a lifelong broke kid. And in order to be at this type of school, typically there is some money in the back pocket. And I was just, I felt very out of place in that, even with the employees who I'm sure were, you know, plenty of middle or lower class employees there, but everybody hid it very well. And I just felt like I was like so out of place. And I was going through a lot of shit at the time too. I was very heavy at the time as well. And I was like struggling with my weight, and I was just very depressed, and I hadn't really started therapy or any of my, you know, anxiety medications or anything like that. And so just being there was an overwhelming feeling that I didn't realize was, I didn't realize that place was as fulfilling until I left it. Because when I left, that was also when I was like going through a divorce, and I was like, you know, just starting to transition into hating myself and my life. I guess I wasn't going through the divorce yet, but we were clearly headed there. And then from there, I didn't really have any jobs that felt like they were in any way connected to what I'm doing now. I mean, you know, I had a couple of cool gigs when I was out in New York. Like, I worked at an escape room. I acted in one I don't know if it was high budget, but it was definitely high budget comparison to whatever my broke ass had ever dealt with before. Production. It was this cool, like, zombie chase scene where I got eaten by zombies. So that was cool. But it was not up until the pandemic that any of this freelance stuff even really started or was ever a possibility. Now, I had borrowed DSLR cameras, and I knew kind of enough about how to operate one to do a couple of photography gigs here and there, or really cheap. Like, you know, I would charge people maybe $50 or $100 to shoot their wedding, with the clear expectation that, like, you could find somebody better, but, like, I know a little bit about what I'm doing here. But it wasn't until the pandemic that any of this was even possible. I didn't get my camera or my laptop until I was working at a bank during the pandemic, the early days of the pandemic, and then I got laid off. So that meant I was getting the unemployment plus up, and then the stimulus checks came in. And so that was my initial investment into, like, well, I literally can't go out and get an outside job right now because most of it is... Most everything shut down. This was the early days where we didn't really know what this virus was. All we knew is that it was sweeping across the globe. So I was like, if we're all going out, I'm making a video about it. And so my first thing that I made was a video called Routine in Quarantine, which was essentially just a little therapeutic edit. You can call it a short film, I guess. It was more of a short story about going through the pandemic with OCD and being kind of terrified of what's coming next and seeing everybody else around me like not take it seriously. So it was a kind of therapeutic, creative thing that I did. And then pretty much shortly after there, I was able to shoot a music video for a band that paid me. They paid me in a tip. I didn't charge them for anything. So it was my first time being like paid for video. And then at that point on, I was like, you know, the world was changing then. Still is changing, but like people were working from home or people really, I mean, just think about those first few weeks or months of the pandemic when, yeah, we were all terrified, but like we were all kind of staying inside. Pollution numbers were down. People were able to spend more time with their family. They were able to take a break from it all. And I was certainly anxious and depressed and terrified and dealing with a lot at the beginning of the pandemic. But I think once that camera got in my hands, I was like, I just can't go back to not doing what I want. Now, yes, it is a point of privilege. I don't necessarily see it as financial privilege because, you know, there's a lot of people who are like, I'm not going to work, and mommy and daddy backs them up. My mommy and daddy are struggling just as hard as I am. Okay. But I won't do it. Until or unless I absolutely have no other choice, will I go back to working for a company or a job that A, has nothing to do with the creative endeavor, the creative pursuits that I'm on. And, you know, I don't remember what the B was, but I just can't do it. I can't do it. If they have nothing to do with creativity, they don't pay me enough. I can't control my own scheduling. And yes, freelancing now means I'm working more than I ever have for less than I've ever received. You know, as I get closer to what it is that I want to do with my career, I'm making less money. So that's a sacrifice that I sort of have to make if I want to continue this. But right now, it's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. The stress of being broke all the time eats me alive. But I was also kind of broke when I was working for a national or a federal bank, you know? I was working at a community credit union for a little while, but I was also working for a Fifth Third Bank. I don't know if I should have said that out loud, but there it is. I just won't do it. I won't do it anymore. And, you know, now, well, you know, for a couple of reasons, you know, the I won't do it is obviously the creative side. Maybe this is a silly way to look at things, but I was and am a Travis Barker stan. You know, I'm a drummer. I'm a punk drummer. Always have been. So, like, of course I look to him for some sort of inspiration. And when I was first getting into the idea of, like, maybe I could be a good drummer rather than just a kid who has a drum set, I was watching a lot of interviews with him, and, you know, he's known for being covered head to toe in tattoos. And a lot of the questions he was getting in the early days were like, why all of the tattoos? Like, why do you feel like it's necessary to cover your body in tattoos? Aren't you afraid that you won't be employable? And a couple of things about that. He had said that, like, he actually did that for that exact reason. He covered himself head to toe in tattoos because he doesn't want to be employable. He wants his only option to be drumming. And I sort of love that. Like, you can't give yourself a plan B if you want your plan A to work. Because there's sort of like the, well, if I don't do this, at least I'll this. And then we settle. And I don't think we have to settle, right? Like, unless your ambition is to sprout wings and fly, even then I don't think that you have to settle. Your ambitions are a little lofty, but I'm sure you could work it out at some point. And that's where I'm at now. Like, I don't... You know, whether it's a freaking alien tattoo on my neck or me saying the word fuck on the internet or having relatively controversial opinions about whatever and then expressing them in the public square. If these things make me unemployable, great. I guess that just means I have to work harder on my regular pursuits, right? 'Cause what else do I got? Like, I understand the sentiment, money can't buy happiness, because I've been happy and I've never had money. I've had just enough money, just enough, my whole life, just enough. And that is overwhelming to the millionth degree. It's scary to like be a day away from rent or be a day away from an interest charge on a loan that you already can't afford and just barely paying it off with minutes to spare. The money can't buy happiness thing, though, like, you know, I feel like a lot of rich people say that. it can't buy happiness, but it can make you, you know, a little more comfortable, a little less stressed. I'm sure that if all my bills were paid without stress, that I would be finding new ways to be unfulfilled or unhappy with myself. You know, it would help. However, you know, if it meant, if I went back to working at a bank or working at a news station where I was making 100,000, screw 100,000, if I was making 80,000 bucks a year, you know, I'm sure that would be tempting. Because that's a lot more than I'm making right now. Like a lot more. But I'd never do it. I would never do that. Again, this is a point of privilege. I don't have any kids. I don't own a home. You know, I have a lot of debt, but it's not debt that I can't travel with. You know, I can go. No, I can't travel. But like, you know, if I needed to move, I can move. The bank's not about to foreclose my home. As far as I know, I'm healthy. I don't have health insurance, so that's scary. But I don't know. This is the ADHD deep dive. To answer John's question, I guess overall, my pursuit was a little bit of a roller coaster that included a lot of gaps of misery and unhappiness. And now the freelance thing is like, it's not like where I'm at now. It's like, it's not this little like flavor of the month. It's sort of like, this feels like my only option now. This is all I have and I have to do it. And again, that means not having a set schedule. That means not knowing if I'm going to get paid tomorrow. But I would rather those fears and worries than being miserable and unfulfilled. You know? Hope that answers your question. Let's look at the next one. Got to set the mic down. Oh, boy, everybody. This is where a producer would be so nice. Actually, you know what? I think we'll address another elephant in the room, and I think this elephant is the same elephant as last time. Weed. It's not just an issue mentally. It's also an issue financially. Well, it has been in the past. Weed is so much cheaper in Michigan than it ever has been. I was actually talking to the guy at the dispensary today that I remember this gram cartridge used to cost me $45 to $50 in 2018. It's now 2022, and I walked out the door paying $14 for it today. So that's great, right? That's great. Another point of privilege. I understand it's not legal everywhere. But I gotta stop. I don't have to stop spending money on it. There are some times when I'm like, I could use money on gas, and I don't. And I get a half gram cartridge and then a half tank of gas rather than a full tank of gas. You know, I'm never using my credit card for weed or anything. I'm never borrowing money for weed, but it does bother me that $15 puts a dent in my wallet. I wish that wasn't the case. But because that is the case, there is some guilt associated with smoking weed. I think that was my biggest problem with weed for the long time there, was that I was like, you know, especially during the pandemic when it was like getting all that unemployment money and I didn't need to worry about having the bills paid or anything. So I was just using the excess money to, you know, do what I wanted. whether it was buying my camera or my laptop or buying some weed or going out to dinner or whatever, or not going out to dinner, ordering dinner. And then once that money went away, you know, it was just like, oh shit, I'm addicted. And I've been smoking since I was like 14, but on and off. I haven't stopped since the addiction set in, though. I've kind of just told myself that addiction or no addiction, I believe that the benefits outweigh the negatives, the pros outweigh the cons when it comes to weed in my life. I do not believe that is the case for everyone. So this is not advice. This is just a vent. And on that note, I think I'll answer another question. Emma Lee, who is going to be on the podcast in early 2023. We've already shot her episode. But she reached out and said, what themes are you drawn to creatively? And why do you think that that is? I think I could start with the why first, actually. I think that the themes I'm drawn to are a result of what I know or what I live my life or what is relevant to my life. So, themes versus genres. Let's see. So themes, you know, I feel like when I'm writing, it's very, maybe not easy for me, but, I will typically lean towards sadder scripts, not satire, sad, depressing, emotional, a big bummer. And I don't know why that's my initial thing. Like when I'm like, I'm going to sit down and write something, or when an idea comes to my mind, usually it's a sad one. But I'm sure it has a lot to do with just because I'm prone to being sad. I'm prone to depression. And if I'm not writing something sad, I'm writing something like frantic, where somebody's like dealing with a huge stress that needs to be addressed right now in their life. And that again feels very relevant. I feel like if it's not one thing, it's another in my life. And every single thing that comes up is so big that it feels like it's the biggest thing. And so, yeah, I deal a lot with that. I mean, I have a full script written. And if you're actually not just a fan of this podcast, but if you're a longtime watcher of the YouTube channel, I have a video where I talked about a script that I wrote that's very personal to me. Like, it feels like a near mimic of, or not a biography or an autobiography, but it feels damn near similar. Different characters and, of course, different names and locations, and everything's veiled in a way that it wouldn't, you know, necessarily be obvious that it's my life. But, you know, you write what you know. And I feel like when it comes to themes, yeah, there's a lot of trauma, and not just trauma, not like event trauma, like, but a lot of my scripts are about the processing of trauma. So lots of scripts about people in therapy, lots of scripts about, you know, healing relationships or mending relationships or losing relationships or losing loved ones. So yeah, you write what you know. And as far as themes, you know, even if I'm writing a comedy, I feel like I'm writing things that are satirical. Now, this time I actually do mean satire. I'm writing things that are a satirical spin on something real that happened to me or has happened in the world. There's one script in particular that I've been working on for a few years that I've had the idea for a few years, and I come back to it every couple of months, that I wish I could kind of share, but it feels like something I need to get done now because it's such a cool story, a cool true story that has happened that somebody's going to do it at some point. So I don't really know where to go from there, because I feel like this has to be a feature film. And I'm not ready to make a feature film. I barely made a short film, okay? Yeah, so I hope that answers your question. You have also, Emma also asked another question. She said, what is the most discouraged you've ever felt creatively, and what did you draw on to keep going? I think I'm only able to answer that because I kind of already did. In that, you know, the news station was very discouraging. Losing jobs. Oh, my dog just kicked the camera. Losing jobs, or having to get jobs that, you know, that internship at Interlochen was an internship. It ended when everyone graduated. And that sucked, man. My last day, like the most miserable for me, because I wanted to keep that job. But it's a new intern every year. At least it was. I don't know. It wasn't a full-time position then. And you know, it's some of these kids like happiest days of their life because they're moving. And sure, I'm sure it was sad because they're like leaving their friends and whatever. But you know, they're moving on to the next big thing, and they know that these kids know that when they leave the school, like they are set up for success. I'm sure not every single one of them is. I'm sure that there are some who have come from either poverty or just, you know, whatever. You understand what I'm saying, I hope. But there I am. I am capturing everybody in the happiest day of their life on my last day. And I'm like, I don't know what's left for me. I don't know what's next. Because like a few weeks before, I was working at a bookstore. I've talked about this before, but I don't think I've talked about it on the podcast. I was working at a bookstore. So I was working at both the Arts Academy and the bookstore. So Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I was at the Arts Academy. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday. Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, I was at, I don't know if I've, whatever. I was working two jobs. Anyways, I got fired from the freaking bookstore because there's this one little pocket behind. So the entire bookstore is carpet, except for this one little pocket behind where like the employees stand, like the counter. And I was fired for not being good at sweeping. Like they took a picture of some dust and debris that was in the corner by the cash register. And I was like presented with it in the like, what is this? And they fired me. So I couldn't even retain a job that I gave zero shits about. So I knew I didn't have anything to fall back on after this Interlochen job ended. So that's when I got the job at the bank as a teller. The first time I worked at a bank. Now, this is before I moved to New York. This is before all these big changes happened. This is before the pandemic. This is before I knew what was happening to me in life. But like, yeah, that was really discouraging. Like, just thinking, you know, right now, for what it's worth, I've been beaten down so many times in my life. I've felt helpless so many times that like, I'm kind of used to it by now. So that the expectations aren't high. So that my expectations can be exceeded. But then, when it was like, this is the thing, finally, like I got out of the miserable job that I hated at the news station, got this really cool, exciting job where I felt like I got to be creative. And like, I got to, you know, compile like mini documentaries about these classes. And I got to learn a lot by shooting at these master classes from these incredibly talented performers and creatives and artists. Then it was just done. And then I had nothing. And yeah, that was a tough time. And again, I was undiagnosed. Well, not undiagnosed. I'd been diagnosed with ADHD my entire life, but I was not treating my depression or anxiety. I had not worked through any of my rage, which I'm still working through, but man, was I an angry guy. I had a lot to be angry about, but it just came out in the most awful, horrific ways. Yeah, I didn't draw on anything to keep going, really. Actually, I don't know that that's true. Sorry, I have to keep checking the the duration of this video. And I hate this freaking squeaky chair, man. Maybe I'll talk about this at length another time. Oh man, if I'm gonna say this, I gotta take a hit of this weed. Oh, okay, this is why I brought up the elephant in the room. This thing has shown up in a few podcasts, and I have not... I don't want it to be in the video, but my addictions are so prevalent that I can't remember that it's near me. This is literally just a little paper towel roll that I cut halfway, and then I put a little... a couple of dryer sheets in there and a dryer sheet here. And my roommate doesn't care that I smoke at all. Cartridges don't really have a lasting scent. But I don't know, if you blow it through one of these, it smells like air freshener. And I think that's nice. And maybe it's a bit silly. And I don't know that I want to use the word redneck, because that doesn't seem right. Whatever the opposite of bougie is, it's that. But may I demonstrate for the video viewers?
Please, please.
Smells like gain. Or is this bounce? I can't remember. Anyways, what did I draw on to keep me going? This is a touchy subject that I don't think I'll be able to get into at length right now, because I'm not sensitive about it, but it's just, if we're going to talk about it, I'm going to dedicate a lot more time than just a quick segment in the podcast to talk about it. When I went out to New York, that was when suicide became an option for me. And disclaimer, I don't feel that way now. I feel so much better, and I'm very happy. I want to live right now, okay? I feel like I have a lot of things that I want to do. So while I appreciate your concern, if you're concerned, I'm doing okay right now. However, when I first got to New York, I was like 90% positive that that would be where I died. And the only thing... And I mean this. And if you're a family member or a friend listening, don't take this negatively. This is not about you. The only thing that kept me alive was my dogs. That's it. Just knowing that they were alone, or that they would have been alone out there. You know, it's the closest thing I'm ever going to have to children. Especially knowing that I don't want kids. And they had just been through so much before we had gotten there, and we had been through so much, that every time I was like moments away or days away or whatever, how close I got, and I got close, I just couldn't think about leaving them behind. Because they would have been scared. Yeah, I can't talk about that much, but that kept me going. They were the only things that really kept me going. All right, one more clip. And I think I'm going to bring it down a little bit. I haven't thought about this one at all, though. Got another question from Evan. If you were a mythical creature, mythological creature, which would you be and why? And that is tough. A, because it's really out of left field given the context of the last question. And B, because I'm not as well versed in mythological creatures as I'd like to be, but I can name a few. Before we get into that part, though, I will say a quick note about mythological creatures. When it comes to like Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster or Yetis or maybe some Midwesterners or Northern Michiganders will be familiar with the Dog Man. And I'm actually surprised by how many people are not familiar with the Dog Man, but apparently that was more of a Midwest thing. So be it folklore about, you guessed it, a dog man. A man, a dog who's bigger than a man, who eats people and comes on the seventh year of every decade. So, you know, 2007, 2017, 2027 and all that. And that shit terrified me. But anyways, when it comes to those things, now this might be a little conspiratorial or out of left field. First of all, I don't believe in the Loch Ness Monster or the Dog Man or Bigfoot. However, there's so much that we have yet to discover or understand about this world, not just this world, but this planet itself, that I'm not necessarily willing to rule out any species of animal. Sure, a lot more of the undiscovered species are probably underwater, but I'm sure there's some huge, massive wolf species that there's only 3 or 4 or 5 of in the world that get spotted here and there and scare the shit out of people. Same thing with a giant dinosaur-like creature in oceans or, you know, what is the Loch Ness? It's a loch, but is that a big lake? I can't remember. It's in Scotland, right? I don't know. Anyways, I'm sure there's multiple of these things out there. Not necessarily these specific mythological creatures, but okay, I'm deflecting. Let's see what. Let's go through some. You know, there's the unicorn, the centaur. Does this include like, you know, some of the stuff from like typical fantasy world stuff, like dwarves and elves, and those are more races, right? Not creatures. Because I feel like if those were included, I feel like my typical character is like a dwarf, you know? I like digging. I'm a small guy, I like being underground. Lots of ginger dwarves. They're always going for the gold, but can't quite seem to find it. And I've got some anger issues. You know, small guy complexes. I feel like all that lines up, right? Otherwise, what else is there? Freaking mermaids? Oh, God, I'm sure I'm getting screamed at right now by people who know other mythological creatures, but a dwarf isn't a mythological creature, so that doesn't feel right. Is a dragon? Can I be a dragon? But I'd be a good dragon, you know? I'd be like one of those dragons that, like, flies around the villages, heating the giant town square bonfire with my flame breath, not burning their straw houses down. So yeah, I'd be a good dragon. A nice dragon. Very kind, very generous dragon. I'd share some of my gold. Even though I do sleep on it, I would give people the scales off my back. I'd be a good dragon. Okay, I think this is going okay, right, gang? There's a lot that I really do want to do with this podcast going into 2023. And I'm really excited to see how we manage that. And I say we because it really does feel like at this point there are enough people who have told me that they listen regularly that I don't feel like this is just me anymore. This does feel like a collaboration, not necessarily in the way that I was looking for or anything that I expected when I yearn for the collaborative efforts, but or the collaborative arts. But knowing that people are engaging with my content, providing feedback, I've gotten some advice, it doesn't feel like I'm alone. And that is that's the heart of all of it, right? Like, I've been a self-described lonely person for as long as I can remember. Even when I'm in relationships, I feel like I don't feel seen or heard. And this is a me problem, not a them problem. I don't know if this is a narcissism complex, but I feel like nobody can really understand me. Maybe that's not narcissism. It's just drama. But yeah, I don't know. Where was I going with this? I feel lonely a lot of times. But right now I'm going through a period of intentional loneliness. Not to get into the specifics, but my last breakup was a pretty difficult one. And that left me sort of at a point in my life where I needed to make some intense reflections. Do I continue down the path that I'm on of perpetual loneliness and misery in spite or in pursuit of approval from a partner? Or do I get my shit together, learn to love myself, and be alone for a little bit? And that doesn't mean, I swear off intimacy from my life. For what it's worth, I'm still engaging with my friends in a healthy capacity. I feel like I'm talking to my friends more now than I ever have been. I'm not sacrificing my time for the people in my life with a partner, an emotional or an intimate partner. I'm having healthy amounts of creative fulfillment. I'm doing things that I wouldn't have otherwise. I'm taking creative risks that I wouldn't have otherwise taken if I felt like the reputation of my partner was on the line too, or not just financial, but if people are looking at me, then they might be looking at my partner's face too. And that's a lot of pressure to put on someone. And knowing that I'm not putting that on somebody's shoulders is huge. But I am lonely. It does make me sad that I feel like I have to be alone for a little while. I don't know if I know why that is, because the word alone is, I guess, very subjective, because when I'm in a room with 50 people, I could feel alone. When I'm in a room one-on-one with my partner, I could feel alone. But now that I've kind of set this path of intentional loneliness or intentional isolation, that doesn't mean abstinence. That doesn't mean I become a freaking monk, a mute monk out in the middle of God knows where. I'm not separating from society, but it's time for me to start to understand me. And the only way I can do that is by feeling alone for a little bit. And it is only, maybe this is obviously cliche, but it is only when you learn to love yourself that you can truly love others. Because you can empathize with people in a different way. And I'm really trying to use this part of my life to develop a new layer of empathy, because I want to see others in the way that I really want to be seen. So how was that for a solo episode? Yeah, I think we did great. Guys, I'm not going to see you for a little bit. We're going to have the week off. So then where an episode would be on December 26th, I don't think I'm going to, maybe I'll put something on the channel that day, but it's not going to be a new podcast episode. I've got a couple of really exciting episodes to look forward to in 2023. I've referenced her already. Emma Lee and I talk about this immersive horror experience that we did recently, that we acted in, that she actually wrote and put together. I have Gil Scott Chapman coming up soon. I actually met him at the Grand Hotel in Mackinac Island on an acting, I was performing on the Grand Hotel or in the Grand Hotel as a character in an immersive experience for the weekend. And he was a musician that actually was hired to play there for a residency. So he's there for a few months out of the year every year and lives on the island and plays music there. So I'm going to talk to him a little bit about what it means to be a traveling artist, what a residency is like, how like interacting with wealthy communities, because it's a big touristy area. A lot of wealthy individuals go and stay on the Grand. So we talk about that. I've got my friends George and Patrick, who were the first and second guests on the podcast. We're going to all be together for one episode talking about our creative group Packed Lunch. There's a lot to get into there, so I'm really excited to talk about that. I've got my friend Molly, who is probably the biggest single creative inspiration in my life since I moved here. She's become one of my absolute closest friends. She's pointed me in the direction of so many different jobs and acting opportunities that I've gotten since moving here. And she's very inspirational when it comes to just pursuing freelance art because she's a freelancer herself. Lots of big things to look forward to in 2023. And I hope that the podcast is not the only thing. I do want to do a couple of short films. I want to start putting out some more of those videos on my YouTube channel that I have been in the past. Not necessarily leaning in the sad boy direction, but I do think that those brought some sort of value to some people. So I want to figure out a new way to kind of process my stuff through a visual medium in a way that's not this video podcast. So no episode December 26th. That means the first week of January. We'll be right back at it. Guys, thank you so much for the positive feedback that you've given me so far. Again, this is the most creatively fulfilling thing that I've done so far. And there's some continuity to it. Knowing that I have an obligation to you every week is the motivation that I need to do the thing. Typically, when it's just my own reputation or my own image at stake, it's easy for me to just be like, I'll do it another time or blah, blah, blah. You know, I'll just postpone it. But I have an audience. And while it is still sometimes hard to believe, A, that that's even true, but B, why? Why do you listen to me? I love you for it all the same. So David J. Mund on Instagram, youtube.com/@DavidJMund if you're listening to the audio version. You can find the ADH Deep Dive on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts every single Monday except for December 26th, 2022, because we're heading into the new year, gang. Thank you so much for tuning in. I love you guys, and I will see you next year.